Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
We welcome in the Major Billy Downer. Did that say captain?
You did good. You got it right opening? The whole time.
Is that our old opening? Is that the new one? Was the new one? Good.
Are you losing your hearing now?
Not yet.
I mean, you're getting older.
I am. I think I'm getting better.
Is that it?
I don't look at it
it's
as
better with time, like wine.
Listen, it just gets I had my annual, not that we're going to get into this. I had my 10-year oil change checkup today.
Excellent.
And everything is good.
There's silence. No one really wants to know.
All important things are working just fine.
Good. Everything. You have the dipstick check. We're good. All right.
Everything's good. It's good to have you with us. SC Wild, Major Billy Downer, 888-898-2525. He's got some very interesting topics for us tonight. But before we get to that, listen.
Before we get to that, it's going to either be alligators or sharks or a combination of both.
Well, and also skin-eating algae.
Oh, my.
Or bacteria, not algae. Skin-eating. My wife asked me today, we're going down to the coast this coming week, and, you know, we got sharks going on. We got skin-eating, body-eating things in the water.
Body-eating bacteria.
Bacteria and all that kind of stuff.
So flesh-eating bacteria you're talking about.
Yes, yes. So tell me what is going on.
Streptococcus B. My wife actually had that happen to her.
She had it?
Yep, she did. It's out there everywhere. That is not just nails. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And actually, she got hers at the beach.
How do you know if you get it?
It's bad, you know. I mean, she basically tore a fingernail at the beach down to the quick. And from that, got an infection, went all up, and it anchored in under her arm.
Ooh.
And it created a pocket of fluid, started pushing her lung. It got very bad in a very short amount of time, got very bad very quickly.
Was this recent?
No, this was back when our children were very young.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My daughter was a year old. My son was 5 at the time.
But this still exists in the
ocean. Yeah. Sure. But it's out there everywhere. It's not something you fish. It's just, again, remember to wash your hands, you know, clean any kind of wounds, sores, those kind of things. Alcohol, all those good things. Alcohol kills everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, clean your hands, wash your hands. Those kind of things. If you're at the beach and you get a weird, you know, a cut or something, clean it. Don't go out there and play in the sand. You know, that sand's got all kind of things in it. So just remember to clean up. That's the main thing.
All right. And we've had some shark activity, not here in South Carolina, but up and down the coast. It seems to me like we're hearing a lot of stories, and you say, you know.
Well, tell me your story again.
I'm hearing stories of sharks, you know, being really close in and
Well, you were telling
swimmers
about
being chased off the beach, a guy with a drone taking pictures, and he sees his kids out there swimming. Here's a shark coming at him.
Thing on the drone.
Da-da-da-da.
25 years ago, we didn't have drones. 10 years ago, we didn't have drones. 5 years ago, we didn't have drones.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wasn't taking pictures of the ocean shore above them, you know, getting that bird's eye view. And now, all of a sudden, people are beginning to see things that may have always been there. Sharks have always been in the water. They've always been offshore. Are right there near shore. It's where they feed a lot of times. And remember, we talked about that last show. We haven't had a fatal shark attack in this state for over 100 and some odd years.
Had one in North Carolina, though.
We haven't had a fatal shark attack in South Carolina in over 100 years. No one wants to be the first one, no doubt about it, but sharks are a natural part of the landscape. Most of the sharks that are near shore like that are smaller sharks. Again, you remember the rules we talked about, but they've been there before. Now we got drones. We're seeing them. I don't think it's a lot to get concerned. It's not like there's a sudden shark migration to the coast.
We had an alligator issue in
Hilton Head. We had some
alligator
incidents. We have had some. We had one involving an alligator that was feared to have been an attack. Ends up it was not an attack. It was a large gator, 11-foot gator down Kiwa Island. It was not an alligator attack. The older gentleman unfortunately died, and then the alligator, after that was in the news, came after and took him in the water or he was in the water. I'm not sure, but it, again, you know, tried to eat him then. And again, alligators, remember, have a brain the size of a walnut.
Mm-hmm.
Eat, reproduce. Two things you're looking at. And you know, a dead body is a dead body. You know, if it's a deer laying in the water or a human, they're not going to differentiate between that. It's a dead body in the water. Mm-hmm. It's something dead. It's potential food for them. So that doesn't make it any nicer or a better story by any means. Doesn't make any family feel any better about that. No doubt about that. It's a horrible story. But at the end of the day, he had died prior to that. So it wasn't the alligator that caused his death.
I saw a video. Don't know where it was shot. Don't know if it was in like Africa or somewhere else. But I think it was a jaguar going into a body of water. Some cat. Don't think it was a tiger.
That's the video. You see it going in and grabbing the crocodile and pulling it back on the shore. Yeah, that's a weird one.
You see that?
Yeah, I've seen that one. It's been around for a few years.
That was kind
of
a small, that was a small croc.
It was, but it did grab it. I'm not sure if it might have been a caiman, but it still grabbed it, small crocodile, but still, it grabbed it, pulled it out of the water, no doubt about it. It's a weird, that's a weird shot. But let's talk about the heat wave and a little fishing report for a minute.
One more thing.
Okay.
I saw a picture in the paper. You probably saw it. Some fisherman caught a fish. And he thought he caught a piranha. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Okay, it was in the paper just the other day.
But it wasn't a piranha.
It wasn't a piranha, but he took a picture. Somebody took a picture and pulled the lips back. They have lips.
Yeah.
And you could see little teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it was a piranha.
And it wasn't.
Apparently not.
What was it?
I'd have to go find the story.
That's a fine story. We'll have to look at that. Maybe the break, come back with that before we end tonight so we can find that.
Yeah.
Might have been the fish that's in Florida that people fish for.
Can we have piranha here in South Carolina?
No, they can't survive. Cold weather kills them, so it's not something they can survive in our water. Again, the tropical fish, tropical waters, they can't take cold weather, and we do have winters here, and our temperatures drop, so there's a problem there. But temperatures certainly the last week have been oppressive heat, 97 degrees today, feels like 104 degrees. Just looking at our saltwater fishing report, you know, fishing slow inshore right now. Our lakes systems get very slow when it gets this hot. Water temperature warms up. Fish aren't eating as much. They go down, get in the deep holes, try to get in the cooler water. Some bright spots, though, on the saltwater side. Fishermen willing to brave the heat can have some success. A couple things to talk about. The red snapper season starts July 12th and runs through the 14th. It's a very specific, very short season, 12th through the 14th, and then July 19th and 20th. Those are the only dates. So basically July 12th, 13th, and 14th, and then the 19th and 20th. Recreational bag limit is one red snapper per person per day. Red snapper, of course, very good eating fish. You have to use non-stainless circle hooks. That's the circle hooks designed so that if you catch them, it keeps it, and it's non-stainless. That's so that if you lose the fish, hook doesn't stay in his mouth forever. The hook will actually eventually disappear because of salt water. So that's required. But red snapper are thick. The report I got from one of the first sergeants on the around the Charleston area, they're thick on offshore wrecks and reefs in about 80 to 100 foot of water. So potential for those that are rigged to that, go offshore, know where some of the wrecks and reefs are, might have some luck with the red snapper because they're very plentiful right now.
Why such a limited season?
So the red snapper as a whole, you know, we can't think, when you think of the ocean, you can't just manage South Carolina. You have to manage the entire South Atlantic. And the I think it's the South Atlantic Fisheries Council closed the red snapper season, and that was to protect the red snapper. A lot of different opinions on that, but they closed the red snapper season because they felt like the red snapper as a whole, the numbers were down, commercialization, everything else, closed that completely down. So they opened it up for these very specific 5 days, dates, so that recreational fishermen can catch one per day. Again, it's an opportunity for recreational fishermen to enjoy red snapper fishing, but on a limited basis, again, to protect them. The numbers are rebounding. It sounds like the numbers are pretty good on some of the reefs, but need to watch out for those fish.
All right, before we get to a gigging for flounder, let's go to Tippy in Edgefield. It's SC Wild on Sports Talk with Major Billy Downer. Tippy, welcome in.
Hey, I had a quick question. I'm going to hang up and listen, but I was more concerned about the coyote situation and the legislature about them passing it and being able to hunt them. What's your take on that, and have you heard anything, any updates on it?
Sure. Thanks. So I'll talk about that. So good question, Tiffany. So basically the legislature, there was a lot of of word getting around that the legislature was considering putting a bounty on the coyote. That did not pass, but let's go back and look at coyotes for a minute. So the coyote in South Carolina certainly is widespread. They're in every county in the state. There's a lot of them. If you see a coyote, you probably got a lot of them. So a lot of concern for coyotes. You know, you've got your farmers with cattle, with young cattle and calves. They worry about the coyotes. Your deer population, we found over time, has taken somewhat of a hit. There's concern about the wild turkey, even though there's not a lot of data to support the coyotes have that much of a detrimental effect on turkey. But still, the coyote is a species of concern. They are not a natural animal in this state. They are a predator, but they came here from a natural migration from the Midwest and from people who were releasing them illegally in fox pens years ago. And so our population has come from that, but they're here now. So one of the things, again, we're talking about that the bounty did not pass. There was a lot of word about that, like a $75 bounty per coyote, try to increase. Again, the idea was to try to increase the interest in people taking coyotes. Remember, DNR has been tagging 16 coyotes a year across the state and doing kind of a draw. If you shoot one of those tagged coyotes, you get a lifetime license to put in for a rifle and different prizes. So again, an effort as from our board and us from legislative influence there as well, wanted to try to increase an interest in taking coyotes. So people just don't say, oh, there's a coyote and I'm not going to take a shot at it. But remember this. Let's go back to this. So in South Carolina, deer hunters reported last year, every year, the average of 33,000 coyotes are taken every year by deer hunters.
Wow.
33,000. So you start putting
in South Carolina?
In South Carolina. So that's a lot of coyotes.
That's
self-reported by deer hunters. But there's that many. Now remember, coyotes pup. They have their pups. They wean them. I'm not sure. I have to look back and remember how many litters they could have a year. But still, they reproduce. They spread out. Again, coyotes are not pack animals. They're not like a wolf. They are solitary animals. They're in family groups at best, and then they break up. So mom and dad, basically, your male and your female coyote have pups. They raise the pups. When the pups get old enough, they run them off, and they go off again, and everybody's on their own kind of for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you do hear coyotes at night, you know, hearing a coyote sound off and the other one sound off, and they sound like they're in a pack running. It's a family group a lot of times. But they are a solitary animal for the most part. But again, deer hunters doing a pretty good job taking 33,000, but again, trying to increase interest. Is all this interest is about creating interest in taking more to try to control it. Because again, they shouldn't be here to begin with. The coyote being here causes problems with our local fox population. The red fox, I mean, a lot of people, when's the last time you've seen a red fox? A lot of people say they hadn't seen a red fox in a lot of years. Some people have some populations that are good, but for the most part, the red fox, the coyote outcompetes, because it's bigger, it outcompetes the red fox for food. Mice, voles, things of that nature. It's what a coyote primarily eats. Coyotes certainly do have an effect on fawns. That's been proven somewhat. They may take an occasional turkey, but that's not their mainstay of their diet. But still, coyotes are not a part of our natural landscape. So anything we can do to promote folks taking more coyotes to control that, that's what we're trying to do. So that's from that interest from that. But that was a good question. It did not pass. We do, of course, you know, we have open season on coyotes 24 hours. You can sign up on the landowner program, participation program online, and you're able to take coyotes at night with any rifle with no restrictions, as long as you have permission to be on that property. So we have pretty much opened up the season on coyotes. You need a hunting license, and that's it. And you can take coyotes.
And there's no getting rid of them totally.
No, they're here. But can we control them better? That's why we're trying to increase the opportunity for folks to be able to take them.
All right. It's SC Wild on Sports Talk. I have a question for the major. 888-898-2525 is the phone number. We will come back and get into some gigging for flounder, something that I am really interested in because I love flounder. It's my favorite fish. We'll get into that when we come back here on SC Wild.
Now on Sports Talk, It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Final minutes tonight with the majors. So let's get to gigging for flounder. Flounder, my favorite
fish.
We'll
get to it a little bit, yeah. So we're trying to set up a trip, folks, to get Phil out on the water. And he's already wondering, are we going to be able to see land? I said, flounder gigging is not done offshore in deep water. It's actually done in water. It's about 2 feet deep at the most.
I'm not big about not being able to see the land.
Well, before we get to flounder one more time, just another update. Black drum have really been good this year inshore. Again, remember the minimum is 14-inch on black drum, but they're doing very well inshore.
Is that a good eating fish?
Very good eating fish, as I told you. I enjoy black drum. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, the white meat.
How do you cook it? How do you like to cook it?
Frying it. Cutting small chunks deep in seafood batter and go to town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing better than that. Sheephead, to me, is one of the best fry. If you like flounder, you like sheep's head. That's a very white meat. It's just got a good taste to it.
Okay.
Sweet. Good taste. So flounder, gigging for flounder. When it's hot like this, if you don't like sitting in the sun all day fishing, especially when the fish aren't biting, when it gets real hot, then you might want to try gigging on the coast at night. At night, the temperature's cooler. Typically, you'll get a little coastal breeze, and that'll keep the nociums, those biting insects, off of you. But again, usually wearing some long sleeves is a good idea anyway because of the nociums. But so flounder gigging has been very popular on the coast of South Carolina for years. Folks go down to Merle's Inlet and do that. North Inlet, for those folks that have the access there, Debidoo's always been a favorite. But all the way into Charleston, down into the Edisto River, and down through into Beaufort area, there's good gigging across our state. One of the blessings we have is some beautiful coastline areas and a lot of areas to gig. Generations of people have gone out at night. They used to go out with candles and handheld lights now, to flashlights, to now the modern LEDs. Of course, LEDs provide so much light with so little power, and they're bright. Flounder, of course, they're the experts at camouflage. They bury in the sand. You have to learn to be able to see those eyes and the very beginning of that head and maybe a little bit of that shape in that sand to be able to pick out where the head's at to get a good strike in. But they use their fins to bury themselves below the sand and silt in the bottom, and they wait. They're a ambush predator for other fish like mullet minnows to unsuspectingly travel over them, and they rise up and eat them. They got some nasty teeth.
What's
you
that
would
sound
never
like?
Believe.
Was it?
They got nasty teeth. Have you ever seen a flounder's mouth?
Not really.
They've got some nasty teeth.
You I've seen believe. Their, you know, their bodies.
Well, they've got some really
plate.
Sharp teeth, and they're good at eating. They're good at what they do.
They have teeth.
They
like
have
hard
teeth. Like sharp teeth.
Ooh.
Don't put your hand in the mouth type teeth.
Ouch.
So, again, slight silhouette. You have to have good eyes. So some of the things about gigging, and we'll talk about this another time because we don't have a lot of time tonight, but, you know, gigging for flounder is done at nighttime. It's unlawful to do it in daytime. You have to gig at night. And pretty much in our state, when you're gigging for flounder, you can pretty much gig all the other fish, black drum, your red drum, follow limits. One of the hardest things is following that size and bag limit when you're gigging because you're looking at fish underwater, and the water will actually magnify the size of the fish. So got to be careful. Remember, the minimum length of flounder is 15 inches, 10 flounder per person per day, and a maximum boat limit of 20 flounder per day. So get a chance in hot weather at night, flounder gig. Great setup. We'll talk more about how to do that later as the show's closing out. Final thought for the day as we go into the 4th of July tomorrow and 4th of July weekend. Be safe on the water. Check your running lights before you go out to the fireworks show tomorrow night. Make sure your running lights are working. And always maintain a proper lookout this weekend for all the other folks that are out there, the skiers and the children that may fall off of an inner tube. Keep a lookout.
Major Downer, have a great holiday. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. That'll do it. SC Wild here on Sports Talk. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. We'll see you Friday night back here on Sports Talk.